From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Halston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where slowly but surely the country is working its way out of the recession brought on by the pandemic. But depending on where you are, there can be dramatic differences in the recovery, even among neighboring states. Take our neighbors up in New Hampshire. There, the unemployment rate is 2.9%, while here in Massachusetts, it's more than twice as high. So why is that? Here to help us answer that question is none other than WBUR's Anthony Brooks. Hey, Anthony, how's it going?
Hey, Paris. Good to be with you.
So let's start in New Hampshire. Is it safe to say its economy has bounced back pretty easily?
Well, it's safe to say that the jobless rate is very low. I mean, at the height of the pandemic last year, New Hampshire's unemployment rate climbed to 16%. Today, the state's 2.9% jobless rate is among the lowest in the nation. And that means New Hampshire businesses are actually desperate for workers, especially in the state's hospitality industry. Recently, I visited the Waterhouse restaurant in Peterborough in the southwestern corner of the state, where business was very brisk. But here's General Manager Linda Quintanilla, who told me that she can't find enough staff to fully reopen the restaurant.
So half the patio is closed and half the dining room is closed. Right now, I could use dishwashers for sure, two more cooks. Servers probably in August when the kids go back to school will be short.
So, Paris, many New Hampshire businesses are offering hiring bonuses to attract workers, really generous ones. For example, I heard of a trucking company outside of Concord, the state capital, offering qualified drivers $10,000 to sign on as truck drivers.
Oh, well, that sounds pretty enticing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And it's an indication of how desperate certain industries, certain sectors of the economy in New Hampshire are for workers.
But just over the border here in Massachusetts, the story looks quite different, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So in Massachusetts, there's also competition for workers, but the situation is a little more complex. Demand is much more uneven. So before the pandemic, the two states had similar unemployment rates, but the latest jobless rate in Massachusetts is just over 6%. That's more than double New Hampshire's rate. So that means that there are a lot more people looking for work. And here's one of those people. I spoke with someone named Carolyn Sandy of Boston. Here's what she told me.
It's really hard on me because I have a mortgage and I have my car loan and I have my bills and, you know.
So Sandy is an immigrant from Kenya. She cares for her elderly mother and 11-year-old son. She lives in Hyde Park and she's the family's sole breadwinner. And she had a full-time housekeeping job at the Park Plaza Hotel in downtown Boston. But when the pandemic hit, it was especially tough for those downtown hotels and other businesses in big cities like Boston that relied on conferences and foreign travelers. So Caroline Sandy's hours were cut way back, and now she's really struggling.
What I'm also getting from unemployment is peanuts. It's also my nightmare because I worry a lot about my mortgage. So I'm stuck between a rock and a stone, and then I just leave it to God.
Oh, yeah, that does sound tough. And Anthony, these are two states literally right next to each other with economies that are linked in many different ways. So why is the difference in their recovery so stark?
Well, the answers vary depending on whom you ask. I mean, some conservatives will suggest that New Hampshire's relative success in this area might be because Republican Governor Chris Sununu ended the $300 federal supplement for unemployed workers, while Massachusetts kept it. Sununu also launched an incentive program which pays people up to $1,000 if they get a job and hold on to it for 8 weeks. So here's Sununu bragging about the situation in New Hampshire.
There are tens of thousands of high-paying jobs across the state available today. New Hampshire continues to have one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country.
So could there be an argument there that removing the unemployment benefit encouraged more people to get back to work?
Well, that's an argument that you might hear, but here's where it runs into trouble. The gap in the jobless rate between New Hampshire and Massachusetts existed well before Sununu cut that federal unemployment benefit. So here's another explanation from Michael Goodman, an economist at UMass Dartmouth.
Massachusetts is socially, economically, racially, ethnically more diverse than New Hampshire, more densely populated than New Hampshire.
So Paris Goodman points out that the pandemic hit immigrant, Black and brown and working class communities the hardest, and that New Hampshire is a much whiter and less urban state than Massachusetts. So this helps explain why rural states that include states like Vermont, South Dakota, Kansas, and Utah have relatively low unemployment rates, while states with larger urban centers, including California, New York, New Jersey, and Illinois, have some of the highest rates. And Goodman points to another key factor, and that is how hard states were hit by the pandemic. As you know, Massachusetts was hit very hard early on, and the state's shutdown was fairly extreme, while New Hampshire had a more relaxed approach to COVID restrictions and lifted them completely in March, nearly 2 months ahead of Massachusetts. And Paris, I just add one more detail about the difference between New Hampshire and Massachusetts. While New Hampshire has a much lower unemployment rate, keep in mind that there are a lot of workers, particularly in southern New Hampshire. By the way, I'm one of them. This is where I live, southern New Hampshire, who work in Massachusetts. In other words, New Hampshire gets to claim someone like me as a person who is gainfully employed, but I'm employed thanks to the Massachusetts economy. So this is another way that these two states are meshed together in terms of their economies, and it adds to the complexity of this overall picture between the two states.
Well, not only is the road to recovery complex, it's also a little bit about give and take. That's WBUR reporter Anthony Brooks. Thanks so much.
Hey, my pleasure, Paris. Always good to talk to you.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Local child advocates are helping Massachusetts families get ready to receive their federal child tax credit. Starting today, eligible families can receive as much as $300 a month for each child under the age of 6. It's $250 a month for a child between the ages of 6 and 17. Lauren Kennedy is co-president of Neighborhood Villages in Boston. She says the payments are expected to cover 1 in 10 children nationwide.
Providing families with these extra resources to be able to afford essential goods is a phenomenal investment that we can be making in supporting our children and families in the Commonwealth.
Families who filed a 2019 or 2020 tax return should automatically receive the payments. In other news, the Boston School Committee unanimously approved major changes to the admission system for the city's prestigious exam schools. The exam schools, and Boston Latin School in particular, have disproportionately white student bodies in a district that is mostly Black and Hispanic. Under these changes, more weight will be given to grades over an entrance exam. Seats will also be issued in socioeconomic tiers. Boston NAACP President Tanisha Sullivan helped craft the change and acknowledge its debt to history.
This really does build upon decades of work by educators and advocates who have sought to create a more just school system here in the city of Boston.
And finally, the Boston Athletic Association announced that 13 former champions will be running in this year's race. Association President Tom Grilk says what may be most important for whoever runs is having a sense of community again.
And it'll be nice for all of the people who come to Boston this year to run to get out and visit some of our local restaurants and help the economy. It should just be a joyous occasion for everybody as the world reopens.
The race is set to have a field of 20,000 runners. The Boston Athletic Association will release the full field of top international runners next month. The race will be held in October, so not our usual springtime marathon Monday, but hey, we'll take what we can get. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since the Boston Marathon and getting back to some sense of normal, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. By the way, every day you hear us tackle news in Boston on Consider This. Well, another one of WBUR's programs uses a wider lens. On Point, hosted by Meghna Chakrabarty, sets out to make sense of the world together. From the economy and healthcare to politics and the environment and so much more, On Point talks with newsmakers and real people about the issues that matter most. Get the On Point podcast wherever you listen. Just search On Point and hit subscribe.